Blog Talk Radio.
All praises. All praises to our Elohim, our Elohai, the Most High. All praises to our Elohai of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the plural, Elohim, the singular, the Elohai. Well, here we go again. We are seeing great things happening within each and every one of us. And it begins with our own spirits. This is why the world is in dysfunction. This is why they clamor in for Trump. I mean, why not? I go backwards instead of going forward, even though they cannot not go forward. But they've put their head down and they want Trump, which deservedly so, because that other old man Joe is useless. I mean, just looking at the politics of things, this old white man, old cantankerous, brittle white man, who, mind you, has no fairness about him. If you look at his 1970s antics, 1980s, I mean, you'll see who he really is. And for these people to portray him as this man of righteousness, this man of the people, is an oxymoron, because he's never been the man of the people. He is a demon like his family. He took his wife from some dude, just took her and married her. Ran over somebody. Something happened in Delaware. This man has a lot to repent for, but do you see that he's repenting? No. So we switch to Trump. Trump, he got a lot to repent for. But yet at the same time, he might have been a reprobate in debauchery, much like Biden, but he didn't have the same grit against our people as Biden did. And I'm not saying one or the other. I'm saying they both are demons. And you know that they're both demons by the people, by the reaction and the action of the people who follow them. Not one of these people are righteous. They talk, but they don't walk it. And, you know, we talked about it last week. They went to the so-called black church, whatever the hell that means, and they said 4 more years. For what? 4 more years of what? Will he even make it? Why would you even do that to that man? Why would you do that to us? You know, I mean, that shows the degradation, the degeneration of those people. That's why all skin folk ain't kin folk. That's why this is why the separation is upon us. These people have put us in the front. I've been watching this on their news. I've been checking out here as of late, last week. And they got us in the front of all their debaucherous, reprobate, ignorant, asininity talkings when it comes to anything, whether it's police. They put us out in front, whether it be their politics, they put us out in front, whether it be their education, they put us out in front, whether it be their business, they put us out in front, whether it be Hollywood, they put us out in front. Everybody want to stick us out in front so that they can say, hey, see, look, we got your people out in front. And those are the people who are still trying to eat the scraps that they've given them from their table. But some of us, we don't want their scraps. We chose to watch them because they were like, come follow us, come follow us. We know, we watch us get this, get paid. Let watch us what we do to get paid. You got to do this to get paid. And they go out there and they do error. And many of the few of us have sat back and said, well, wait, I don't want any parts of that. I don't want any part of what you're doing for you to get whatever you feel you need to get. And we walk away. And those degenerate Negroes, or I won't even call them Negroes, they're not even worthy to be called Negroes. Those degenerate blacks are shucking, jiving, dancing, splitting, buck breaking, getting their backs blown out, throats blown out, all for nothing. And we go, nah, we ain't going through all that. We don't need to go through that. And they're going, but why not? What you talking about? We got to do this. This is how you do it. You got to do this. Remember Martin Luther King. Listen, we don't care about Martin Luther King, although you killed him too. You blacks killed him too. You sold him out. You sold him out, as you did all of our leaders of that time, so-called leaders. And then they had a job to do, which they couldn't get done because we said, no, we're not dealing with you all anymore. Then the man who's giving them the scraps is looking at them side-eyed like, why aren't you getting your people in line? And they're going, well, they're not our people. And we're going, yeah, we're not their people. And the man's going, what do you mean you're not their people? You guys are all black. And we're like, nah, we're not even black. I don't know, first of all. But second of all, whatever you guys are doing, we want no part of it. And they're struggling with that. They're struggling with that. And we say to them, hey, you need to repent is what you need to do. For all this, if you want to get over here with us, you've got to be clean. You're filthy. You stink. You got fake lips, fake butt, fake boobs, fake hair, fake lashes, fake eyes, you know, fake toenails, fake fingernails. Your whole body's fake. You probably got a mask on. And they're upset because we're calling them out. Because that's why they got this whole award show, this month of award show. Okay, I know you all in on your idolatry. I get it. But that doesn't affect us anymore. It doesn't affect me anymore. Hasn't for a long time. And then, you know, you got these folks who say they are but are not running around trying to steer us up again. And what's his name? Oh, God. Rappaport steering us up again, trying to act like that he has some moral understanding of who we are. This is the conundrum they're in now. They, for a long time, this is they, the blacks and the whites. They, for a long time, the blacks would go and snitch and tell every thought, every concept, every rational, reasonable ideology that normal Negroes would have, they would take it and go tell the man. Therefore, the man knew exactly what we were thinking, what we would do, how we would do it, how it would affect us, and everything. And for a long time, that was just our life. We had to deal with that. We had to roll with it because there was nothing we could do. But now, since the many of the few stepped away from them, they're perplexed at what we think. They're looking at us like, what are they thinking? What's he thinking about? I wonder what he's thinking about. So now it's quite interesting. Now they looking at you like we just will go into a store, or whatever, do our business and try to roll out, and someone will try to stop us to greet us. And as they stop us to greet us, they want to look us in the eye because they want to see what we see. And when we look them back in the eye, they're perplexed because they have no clue. They have no understanding of what we think, how we think. And then if we tell them, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear that. Well, what are you thinking about? What do you think about this? Oh, you want to know what I'm thinking about? I'll tell you. It's no problem. This is what I think about. Oh. You know, they can't even go, oh, you're one of those black Hebrew Israelites. Because it is funny. We now have I won't say comeback because it's not a comeback, but we have a retort for everything they have to say. Like, they have nothing that they can say to us that we don't have a retort to and against and for. They don't have any concept. And it's interesting because I was reading, Brother Leon said, you know, he sent me these a script out of the sealed portion, and it was chapter 90. I would suggest people read chapter 90 again because that's what's coming upon us. I'm going to do 89 tonight, but 90 and 88. 88 for sure. This 88 is strong. And 90 is impressive. I would suggest people read those. Again, just to revisit it, you know, to sharpen yourself, because these things are popping off the page now. I mean, they're just popping off the page. We have almost hit full circle where we are complete. And that's not an arrogance. It's not an ego. That's not a pride. Nope. It's because there is only but a certain amount of truth and knowledge that can be provided here in the physical on earth without the Father bringing the rest to us. Now, we have refined ourselves. We're refining ourselves. Brothers is going to, you know, Brother Judah going to Mexico to get rejuvenated, resurrected, to get stimulated off of the ley lines. Brothers and sisters not in Mexico or around the earth right now, and in particular the U.S., dealing with their own spiritual awakening that has took them to Jacob's staircase to be able to ascend further. This is the beauty of our good news. And this is what they don't want to talk about because they can't talk about it, as we know. You got Nikki Haley, this wench who is an Indo-European, trying to tell us that we, to us, that there was no racism. Well, we all know it was. This is the concept. This is what, and I thought about this the other day, this is what they were doing when they brought forward the Mandela effect. This is what they were doing when they then tried to bring forth the CRT. This is what they were doing, Mandela effect. What is the Mandela effect? The Mandela effect is a lie. The Mandela effect is a lie, okay? But it says the Mandela effect is a type of false, a false memory that occurs when many different people incorrectly remember the same thing. It refers to a widespread false memory that Nelson Mandela died in prison in the 1980s. Memories are not always precise recordings of events. So how does that apply? Well, this is what they've been doing since they instituted Jim Crow. The Daughters of the Revolution came in and said, hey, we need to do essentially a Mandela effect and say that our boys in the Confederate, although we lost, our boys were good people. Our boys are not only good people, but they won. This is the Mandela effect of ignorance. And CRT, critical race theory. Oh, there was no racism. The blacks, you know, learned a viable trade. There was no racism. Blacks learned a viable trade. See, this Mandela effect of CRT, what is it? What does it all mean? What was the end game of this Mandela effect and this CRT? This is what came to me the other day, the Father, and I said, and I went, aha! All praises to the Father. What was it? And I did a lesson on this a couple weeks ago. It was them trying to create a new renaissance. A new renaissance. This is what they're trying to do. This is their whole concept. This is their whole concept. They want to do a renaissance. Hold on, let me get to it. So in their renaissance, this is stupid. That's so this is what they've been trying to do over the last 80 years. Renaissance is a French word meaning rebirth. It refers to a period in European uncivilization that was marked by a revival of classical learning and wisdom. Wonder where they got this classical learning and wisdom from. Classical, the classics, the original. They got it from us. So this whole thing, this whole charade, this whole BS that they have perpetuated and propagated on us is so that they can have another rebirth. If we stayed asleep any longer, they would have had a new rebirth. They would have said, there was no blacks in Egypt. There was no blacks. They'd have had the time to whitewash all of the Egyptian paintings and made them like reddish, light reddish to white. They would have said that black people had no history, as they've been doing throughout the entire history of their miseducation of the world. So this whole concept is a new rebirth. Now listen, I'm not saying that it's all of these people, but I'm saying that it's all of the ones in leadership. That's an absolute. I won't say that the ones that are not in leadership are the ones that are duped, the ones that ran around and kept perpetrating these fraudulent lies. Okay, so this whole thing has been about a rebirth of their renaissance when they've already had a renaissance. They've already done this rebirth thing on our blood. They took it all. They took our heritage. They took our bodies. They took our blood, which now goes into what Ish was doing. We already know that our people had tunnels in the inner earth. We already know that. We've studied that. I think a couple years ago, we got into that and we were studying that, the inner earth, understanding what that was, how that looked. So we already understood the tunnels. Not to mention that it only makes sense that master mason builders can build on top and underneath. That's not too hard to understand. Okay. So what Ish did throughout this whole thing, and this also came to me via the spirit, that Ish was the gatekeeper of the tunnels. They went through every land, found all the tunnels, and created and added to, hid. They found the information in the inner earth. They did that. This was their goal because they wanted to control not only as above, but so below. This is what their whole goal was. But they needed us out of the way. That's why they kept mentally taking from us and putting to themselves. Oh, we're the people of the book. We're the chosen. We're the ones that God loves. So we get to do anything and everything we want to do so that we can maintain and protect what God has told us to do. And, you know, it was all lies, of course, but that's how they coined it so that they can maintain their own strength. But as we know, strength wears out over the course of time based on the heavy lifting that one does. And these people have been doing heavy liftings of lies. Like the lies have been becoming heavier, heavier, heavier. They don't even acknowledge our Messiah. Let me see something. What's that dude's name? What's his name? Let me do it this way. Like, these people think they're slick, and they don't even realize that we're on to them. And it doesn't even matter if we're on to them. We don't believe a word they say, and they're looking very, very pitiful. Like, I don't have any empathy for any of these people. Absolutely not. None of the higher or the lower people. What I do have, though, is pity. I pity these fools. Because they think that they're going to do something that is, that they're going to have a rebirth. This is the guy. This is their Messiah. This dude, Menachem Mendel Schneerson from Ukraine. This cracker jack, this devil is from Ukraine. He is their Messiah. Menachem Mendel Schneerson, as leader of the Chabad Lubavitch movement, he took on insular Hasidic group that almost came to an end with the Holocaust and transformed it into the most influential movement in religious jewelry, with the international network of 5,000 educational and social centers. The institutions he established include kindergarten schools, drug rehabilitation centers, care homes for the disabled, and synagogues. Now, when I go here to the sealed portion, where is it? There's a script in here. I want to say it's 91. Let's see. It talks about this. It talks about this. Talks about how in the end days, our father's going to destroy their education, their institutions of education. Me. But while I find this, I'll keep going. These guys are on their last leg because they have nowhere else to go. These tunnels, they've been doing blood sacrifices, and that's our land too. These tunnels, it's on our land. So these places that these tunnels went to, I'm sure that there were ritualistic in sense for our people. So you know that they bastardized, they made it an abomination underground as well as above ground. These, what is it? Who they fighting over there? Hamas. Whenever I see someone from Hamas, they always got a mask on. Makes me wonder if it is just Jewish people with a mask on, a scarf around them, talking shit. Because if you don't like Ish, why are you hiding your face? Why would you hide your face if you were standing on truth Why would you hide your face? Why are they hiding their face? How come we don't ever see anybody from Hamas? Because Ish created Hamas, and Ish is Hamas, and Hamas is Ish. It's all a ruse. It's all a ruse to try to maintain some sort of control over the people, us, of the Father. That's it. That's all. Everything has changed since we decided to say we no longer believe anything you all say. And I'm going to give you a for instance. I can't find it in the show portion right quick, but I'm going to come back to that in a second. I'm going to give you a for instance. This is Matthew 22. Now, we all know that the Father and our Messiah said the Father comes first. What was the two greatest commandments? Love your Elohim with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor, aka brother, sister, as you would yourself. Those are the two greatest commandments, and on them hinge all the rest, okay? So he said, and I repeat again, love, the first of the greatest commandments is love your Father, okay? Okay, not your fleshly Father, but the Elohai, okay? Now, here's how, you know, that's why the Gentiles go, well, you can't add to or take away from this. You're interpreting it. No, look, you don't have the right nor the understanding to step to anybody talking about you can't add to or take away from this word when that's all they've done. Matter of fact, I was looking this verse up, and I was like, my goodness. How many versions of this verse is there? It's 62 verses. They've created 62. Who's adding and taking away from? You've got 62 versions of one scripture. If this was what our Messiah said, why do you need 62 different ways of saying it? This is not even a puzzle anymore. And it's just interesting. You know, it's interesting, but I digress for a second. Hold on a second. So I'm going to start. There we go. Okay, so we'll start at 10. We'll start at 9 because this is... Oh, shoot. Let's just roll with 1. All right. So this is... All right. Then Aisha answered and spake unto them, saying in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which married his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, but they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, mine oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their way, one to his farm and another about his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them sharply and slew them. But when the king heard it, he was wroth and sent forth his warriors and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. It sounds like what's going on now. Then said he to his servants, truly the wedding is prepared, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Now, what the Gentiles will say is, oh, well, that was Israel. They weren't worthy. No, that's the Pharisees. That's the fake ones. That's the ones that were, because he says they went about one to his farm and the other about his merchandise. These are leaders. These are owners. This is, yes, the Israelites had farms, and yes, they had merchandise, but these were the leaders of them. These are the Pharisees and Sadducees. These are the issues of today. Okay. And they say, then said he to his servants, truly the wedding is prepared, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore out into the highways, and as many as ye find, bid them to the marriage. Now they think this is the Gentiles. This is not the Gentiles. These are all the people that chose to be at the wedding, that chose to go. Okay? So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all that ever they found, both good and bad. See what I'm saying? So the wedding was furnished with guests. Then the king came in to see the guests and saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither and has not on a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now he did that because these people are trying to come in and bust up his wedding. This is those that say they are but are not. And that isn't just Ish. That's also those aboriginals, those natives that say they are or not. That's those French people that say they are or not. That's those Germans that say they are or not. That's those Asians that say they are or not. That's everybody who are proclaiming something that they are not. That's those people who want to say they're man or woman that's not. They're not allowed to come into the wedding. Why? Not because they can't come in. As is evident, they were in. It's because they were not preparing themselves to come in. Because you can't come in not knowing who you are or whose this is. You can't just come on into the party any kind of way. You can't come to the kingdom any way you want to. Come as thou art. Come any way you want. That's Christianese. That's romanticized Israelite scriptures. That's not accurate. All right. And then said the king, for many are called, but few are chosen. That's the point. Many are called, but few are chosen. But then I go on. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might. See, then went the Pharisees. So the Pharisees, these people, they have screwed up the verbiage and the language of that it's only right that the Spirit comes and intuitively, and before I go forward, we have been eating on these scriptures, especially the romanticized compilation of stolen scriptures that Rome has put together, but we've been eating on these scriptures and all these other historical books and all these other metaphysical books and all these other scriptures that we weren't able to get earlier on. Now, we have eaten a lot. We are full. Not really full, but we are full. We are no longer famished. There's no more a famine. We are not having a famine here. They are. Okay? So we have eaten all this that now this stuff is in us. This food is, we are digesting it. We're able to utilize it. It is nourishing us. So whenever we read these things, we can go, that's not right. That's not how that, I bet you this, they messed that up. You see what I'm saying? This is how we take back our heritage. Okay. And you know, the next phase is going to be, it was by design. They kept us away from the American heritage, meaning the history, the mysteries of America, all the ancient information, because once we got hold of it, it would resonate with us and they couldn't stop it. So they had to differentiate us. They had to separate us from it. And it was by design. The Father wanted them to, because we were no longer to partake in our heritage. They were supposed to have it. And, you know, many brothers and sisters are talking about the same thing. Like we have turned such a sharp turn that the heathens and the Gentiles are in amazement how sharp we made that turn. Like how in the hell did they get, see what I'm saying? Like we have turned this corner that they set with obstacles and everything else in the way, booby traps and everything. And we turned the corner. We turned it flawlessly. And they're mesmerized. They are amazed. That's why I said earlier, they're trying to figure out what are they thinking? When we were all about football, they were like, oh, yeah, I know you. You just like I said, that dude, that Indo-European at work coming out down the elevator asking me because he assumed that I was a football, because I'm black, so-called, that I like football. And he was like, well, what you got? Who you got winning this football game this weekend? You know, I'm trying to get my fantasy together. Who you like? I was like, I don't even watch that. Oh. Perplexed. Well, what is he thinking about? He's a black man. And he doesn't even like his sports. I didn't say I didn't like sports. I said I don't like football. Or I didn't even say I didn't like it. I said I don't really watch it. So they are perplexed and trying to figure out what we're thinking. And then when they find out what we're thinking, they want to know why we're thinking it. And then when they find out why we're thinking it, they're going, how are they thinking this? And it just keeps snowballing. And their minds are blown. Then the Pharisees, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might tangle him in talking about how they may try to bamboozle him and you know, talking about our brother, the Messiah, right? And they sent unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God truly, neither cares for any man, for thou considerest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, how thinkest thou? There you go. How thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? So this is where this is the full circle. Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Now, remember, everything is predicated on the Father first. The Father first. Spirituality first. What was in the spirit gets into the physical. What's in the physical doesn't get into the spiritual. So the Father is first. The spiritual is first. Okay? So it says, but Ahusha perceived their wickedness, right? Of course. And said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought him a penny. And he said unto them, who is this image and subscription? And they said unto him, Caesar. Now here's where it gets tricky. Then said he unto them, and this is where we have to discern the truth, because this is what their whole system has been based on. In terms of before us, before when they were not in rule and we were still ruling, it was giving to the Father first. Okay? This was the Abel. Abel gave the first, the best, that gave all credence to the Father. Cain did not. Okay? So it says here, then said he unto them, give therefore to Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and give unto God those things which are God's. Now, time out. Why would the Messiah say, give to Caesar first a tribute and a subscription, this penny, give unto Caesar first? Why would he say that? His whole conversations with everybody is to love the Father. His two greatest commandments was first the Father, then your brother. So now why would he flip the script here and say, all right, just give to Caesar first and then give to the Father? So they built their whole churches, their whole institution, their whole system on that. Hey, you got to give to Caesar first. Hey, you got to give me mine first. You go to work, but I got to get mine first. I got to take the money first out of you. I got to take this money first. I got to get it first from you. Then you can do whatever. And then here comes the church. Well, look, you know, I know the man took everything from you first, but now you got to give to God. You've got to give to God now. You got to give him something. So now you got to give 10%. But wait, I just they just took 20% from it before I even took them, before I even brought anything home. Now you're telling me that I got to give to your God 10 more percent? So I work hard all day and all I'm getting on the dollar is 70 cents? The hell is really going on here? Oh, this is just the way it is. Don't you worry about it. You're doing well. You're going to get to heaven. Okay, I guess I'll go to heaven. Give unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and give unto God those things which are God. I would venture to say that he said, they said unto him, Caesar's. Then said our Messiah unto them, well, give unto your Elohi those things which are your Elohi's, and then give unto Caesar those things which are Caesar's. Now see, when you just flip that script real quick, everything changes. The whole concept changes. The mind changes. The conceptualization of even spirituality changes. Everything rectifies and balances out. Everything. Everything. That's what the hell we've been doing for the last 7 years. We've been given to the Father first. And look at what's happened to Caesar. Caesar's struggling. Even with his penny, his subscription, he struggles. He's struggling. Nobody on this earth has said, give to God first. Not without a scheme or an agenda behind it. But when you are honestly saying, hey, just give to the Elohim first. Give to them first. Then what you have left, then give to Caesar. That's why this is a debtor world that we live in, because they want you to give to them first so that you can be in debt, so that then they can turn around and say, well, now you got to give to God so that he can bless you. That's liberation theology and prosperity gospel. This is the flip. This is the flip. And now today they wondering why their world is crumbling, because ignorant ass Gentiles and heathens, you've been given to Caesar. You've been given to Caesar, and Caesar's been taking your money and killing people with it, taking your money and giving it to the Ukraine people, the issues in Ukraine. Giving your money, taking your money, giving it over to Ish in Israeli land. They've been taking your money and giving it to whoever they want to give it to so that they can get it right back and live high over you. Well, you know, they take the taxes, and what, you ain't going to pay taxes? No, I say no. I mean, I'm forced to pay taxes. I'm forced. But soon, the taxation that Caesar is taking first is going to be gone. And if I don't have my mind right of knowing who I need to give tribute to, well, then I'll be struggling with the rest of these heathen Gentiles. That'd be like, well, you know, we got to vote. We got to get somebody else in. So you mean to tell me after the last 4 years, all we got to choose from is two old-ass cantankerous white men? That's what you're telling me? That's what this world's trying to give to me? Well, you know why I don't want it? What if I don't want you? What if I don't want them? Oh, well, you're the problem. We need, you know, only 40% people vote, and we need everybody vote. Why? Why? Why you need my vote? Why you want me to be complicit in your madness? Two old white men? Well, you had Obama. Obama is a Hamite. Matter of fact, an Ish Hamite. His mama's an Ish, and his daddy's Kenyan. Hamite. He has nothing to do with me. Hence why he ain't do nothing for me. And the rest of them have been white and have done nothing for me. Khazarian, Germanic, Indo-Europeans. Done nothing for me. Well, if we get independent, what? You need to be an independent thinker is what your ass needs to be. You need to be a critical thinker is what your ass needs to be. And get off of this madness of voting. We've come full circle with the voting thing. They killed us in the beginning. We wanted to vote for freedom because that's what they told us, that if you vote, you can vote in who you want to lead you, and then you can have freedom. But the ones that we wanted to vote in, they killed, they lynched. Where's the justice in that? They didn't want that. You know, no justice will come without repentance. None. For them. And they think that they don't have to repent and will get justice. What justice do they need to have? Well, some of us ain't got, you know, no. Yes, you don't have now because your turn is over. And don't try to act like today you need justice too. Try to piggyback on the fact of, don't try to piggyback on justice today when you haven't repented for anything you've done in the past. Anything. Not one thing. And you have the opportunity. That's your free will. That's your free agency. That's your choice. That's why we don't give a, you know what? We don't care. Why would we care whether or not you A, vote, whether or not you give to Caesar, whether or not you are looking for justice or not? Why would we care? That's not, there's no empathy in that. That's whether or not you want to give your free will and free agency frequency and vibration and energy to these people. That's your choice, Israel. That's your choice to do. Don't let them think. Don't let them try to bamboozle you into believing that you have to do that because you've got to take the higher. You got to be the bigger. No, sir. We need to give to our Father first. And then whatever's left, you then choose, which mind you, because here's the kit and caboodle, which mind you, if you give to the Father first, then you will do the right thing with the rest. See how that works? If you give to Caesar first, 9 out of 10 times you won't do right with the rest. 9 out of 10 times. And I can attest to that because I used to get my money, know how much I was making, get my check, realize that I just got jacked in taxation without no freaking representation, and then take that and go have some drinks with it. So by the time the Monday came around, I was damn near broke, running the rest of the week waiting for the next paycheck, paycheck to paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. And then they go, well, why can't you save something? How can I save anything? Caesar's taking all my savings. Caesar don't want me to have. Oh, you just ain't doing something right. You just ain't doing something right. What? So now all things have changed. Because I'm given to the Father first. I'm redeeming the time. I'm having a conversation with whomever asks the question. But they have to ask the question because I'm not giving my pearls away for free, especially amongst these swine out here, these pink-faced people who call themselves white, and these ruddy faced people who call themselves black. I'm not giving it to them. They got to work. They got to learn. They got to be ready and prepared. I can't prepare you. I'm preparing myself. It's just like they go, a few years ago, they were like, oh, we got to prep and get this and get that and have this food. Are you all out of your mind they don't, and this is again, these people are ignorant. They don't even have a clue. They don't realize that you don't have to have food stored up. I mean, if they don't know anything, they should have known that. That's a theme through their romanticized Bible as well. Our bodies are prepared to eat manna again. We're preparing ourselves to fast for a long time, if need be. Are they? They go, oh, well, you guys all got diabetes from you. You don't think our Father knows that you guys have poisoned our food, poisoned our water, poisoned our air, poisoned our land, and that he ain't going to come and just take all that away from us at the end of the day, as long as we put him first? Are you crazy, Gentiles? You guys are the ones that's going to be obese. That's why right now you ain't got nobody to fight your wars. You guys all in your mind say, well, we need to fight this. We need to fight. But you're driving around in a little go-kart in Walmart. Your feet, your ankles is big as my waist. You got a red hat on talking about, let's do this again. Really? You think for a second that we learned brethren and sisters of the Most High are going to allow you, heathens and Gentiles, to do this again? That's why I keep saying they will not have another renaissance. They will not have another renaissance. That's what they've been trying to do. Oh, everything's about North Africa. There's North Africa, North Africa. Listen, you're not, North Africa is Africa. Just because you guys have oppressed and suppressed the dark-skinned Hemetic brothers and sisters over there doesn't mean that you guys have always been there. That's also what's about to come out. And we know this. This isn't hard. But that putting our Father first is key to our resurrection. It's key. You know, talking about the keys of Enoch, that's the, you can't, none of this could have been possible without putting our Father first. The moment that we said, we're done listening to them, 7 years ago, we're done. No. We're not going to your churches no more. We're not doing this. We're not doing that. What happened? COVID. They were like, you guys all got to get this. You got to get that. We're like, we ain't messing with y'all. Y'all are untrustworthy. Why would we trust you? Then they brought some of our handkerchief head Negroes, blacks out there. And they said, listen, Tuskegee was, you know, it was this and that. And you know, it's different now. And they're not trustworthy, Gentiles. You have shown no trustworthiness. None. Ish got tunnels and to a ritual bathhouse next door and everywhere else, and you don't even say nothing about it. Ish blowing fools up like nobody's business, and you're saying, well, they got to protect themselves. We go out for a night just to hang out and 5-0 or Karen says something crazy and then 5-0 gets called and Karen starts whooping and we say something back and now we're beat up, handcuffed, tased, maybe even killed, but definitely in jail, in handcuffs. I mean, where's the justice? And yes, that pendulum is swinging now. Yes, it is indeed. It is swinging heavy on these people, and they are struggling with it because they are saying, how and why and when did this all happen? I catch the train in at to work, and, you know, I see a lot of Indo-Europeans on there for show, and I see a lot of young Gentiles and heathens. And I see some derelictic brethren and sisters, and I see very few of us. Okay, but those few of us are very content. They smell nice, they look nice, they dress nice, they're to themselves, They acknowledge each other and they move on. I see them struggling. I see the Indo-Europeans. They're sitting there, you know, they're all huddled together, you know, like somebody trying to take something from them. Nobody want nothing from them. There's some of the, I won't even say that. Their food prep is one of the nastiest I've ever seen. They talk about the Hamites. Those people are nasty as hell. And their food preparation. I don't even know. I don't even want to know what they do in terms of hygiene. I don't care. But based on what I've seen them on their street food preparation, it's filthy. And nobody wants nothing from them. Nobody cares about them. None of us. That's the whole thing. They are all over. They bring in the immigrants so that they can try to say, see, you guys, to try to bring us to jealousy. Don't nobody care about them. They ain't bothering us. They're going to come to bother you, Gentiles and heathens. You guys don't even understand. You're setting yourself up for your own destruction. I mean, some of y'all do. I know. That's why we're trying to close the border. Nah, it's not your border to close. It's unlucky. You cannot close a border that is not yours. That's this whole there's so many metaphorical situations that are happening today. In a from a spiritual context, that it is amazing to me that these people who say that they know their scripts has not a clue. Who those people who run around with some death contraption, a crucifix, a killing contraption on their chest, has no clue. Has no clue. But I digress. I digress. And so after they flipped this and said, and he said, give unto Caesar and give unto God. Then and when they heard it, they marveled and left him and went their way. Why would they leave him? Why would they go their way? Why would they marvel at him when he says, give it to Caesar? They would have marveled at him when he said, give to the Elohim is his, then give to Caesar what is his. See, that's something to be marveled at. That's something to be like, well, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that Caesar can't get his first? Why would Caesar and them try to kill him when he said give to him first? See, the concepts, the righteous reasoning, Brother Shamar, the righteous reasoning is not in these scripts. The righteous reasoning is in our minds, in our heart, in our spirits. That's why it's all changed. That's why we can read these things and be like, no, sir. No, that's not what that means. That's not what that ever meant. You see? That's why we can stand up a mighty and exceeding army knowing these scripts. And we might have known them, but we ain't really know them. They were not embedded in our spirits for now. I mean, we have been getting there. I mean, think about where we've come from. I keep saying this too. Think about where we came from. We came from understand. And this is the other thing. Their romanticized book, if you think of the puzzle, their romanticized book is the border of it. So they've given us just the border. They didn't give us nothing inside. It was just the border. All the other books are the rest of the puzzle, the inside, the inner standing of the puzzle. Meaning the other books explain what we are to do individually. How we are to be transformed individually. We are the collective. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 makes the collective. They want us to be, they want us to deal with the collective, but they want to judge us individually. They don't want to be judged collectively. They want to be judged individually. And we're going, hey, you're going to be judged individually and collectively. That's why it's very important for you to understand the totality of these scripts. Because if you don't get the totality of the scripts, you're better off dead. Literally and figuratively, you're better off dead. You might as well go and enjoy yourself. Smoke it up, drink it up, eat it up. Do whatever you need to do. Because if you don't have the fullness of the, I will not say it, but the fullness of the truth, it's just not in you. You will never have it unless it is meant for you to have. Now, let's go on to this here, sealed portion. Now, I want to do 89, okay? 88 is fabulous. 90 is fabulous. This whole freaking book is fabulous. I can't even deny. There's some meat in here, lots and lots of meat, but there's some bones, and there's some things that now, after rereading it, going back and reading these things, I can see where they had their, they of course, they didn't put their stanky, filthy, dirty paws on these scripts, too. And these are ours from the 10 tribes. So this is our fullness that we get to bring to the world because they're ours, but they took them and filthied them up. So now we have to come in and polish it and clean it up and do the right thing and give it back to the Father. That's our goal, to give all this back to the Father so he can take it, flip it, you know, clean it up and make it right. Don't we want balance? Don't we want justice? Their Mandela effect is not going to affect us. They can't. Oh, Fruit of Loom never had the, goodness, what's the name of that thing? Yes, it did. Stop lying. It's always been the Bernstein Bears. Stop lying. There's absolutely no truth in them from a leadership position, which then trickle downs, like Reagan, their trickle down lies has distorted their children. And now they think because they distorted, we need to be distorted. And we're saying we want to know more of your distortion, your extortion, your distortion, nor your extortion of lies. We want no more of it. You know, it's our choice. It's our free agency. It's our free agency. It's our free agency. It's our free agency. It's our free will. Individually. The moment that you give up your free will, then you're giving it to Caesar. And Caesar's going to take it freely. And then going to say, oh, well, the devil did it. And the devil's like, yeah, I guess, whatever. He's going to catch the bad rap, but he don't care either. Because he's like, good, you're getting rid of him for me. Use my name, whatever. But that's, the individual gave that up, just like we gave up our inheritance. We gave it up. We wanted to be with them. We wanted to see them. We were thirsting after their debauchery, their unfree will, because we were like, man, we ain't even got no free will. But look at these degenerates over here. They got no cares. They ain't got nothing to worry about. They ain't got no laws to deal with. They ain't got nothing to do. They can just run around half naked. Look at what they doing in the dirt over there. Look at what they doing. They free to even do that. We can't even do that. And the father said, what, nigga? You want to do that? Okay. Your children will do that. Well, you know, I don't mean it. No, it's done. Because you're ungrateful, you're trifling, and that's really what your heart wants. That's your desire. So I'm gonna give it to you and your children. And the things they were doing in the dirt, he put us under them. He didn't raise them up. He just put us under them. The head will be the tail. And the tail will be the head. Well, a head, not necessarily the head, not a leadership, not in perpetuity of truth and knowledge, of strength, of wisdom, but just a head. They're going to be ahead of you because you like what they're doing in the dirt. These filthy pigs are in the dirt doing what they're doing, and you are desiring it. So we brought that on ourselves. That was our choice. But he said, I'm going to take care of you because I made a promise to your forefathers that I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry. I'm going to take care of your children, but y'all all going to go through it. You're going to go in that dirt with them pigs. And for a long time, we're like, well, we don't want no more of this dirt. Tough. Eat that dirt. Eat what them pigs give you. Eat what the pigs, eat what the swine leaves for you. Eat what the swine leaves for you. What the swine leaves for you. And we're going, Father, how long? Don't worry about how long, but for a little while, don't worry about it. I got you. It ain't time yet. But Father, how long? He looks at his watch. Nah, it ain't time yet. Continue. Y'all ain't broke enough. Y'all aren't ready. You're not prepared yet. You guys just want to get out from underneath them because you chose to be up underneath these pigs. Now you want to come back to me? No, you're not ready yet. But Father, we're ready. No, you're not ready. You're just not ready. I can see it in your heart. You're not ready. But then we didn't pay no attention. That's why he was saying, you ain't ready. You know that I told you for 400 years you're going to be in captivity. I know. I told you this. You ain't ready because you ain't even preparing for the 400 years to get through that. When Judah and Israel will be enslaved together, you guys aren't even prepared for it. So y'all going to go through and take this ass whipping and be broken by these heathens, those pigs that you desired. But we didn't desire our forefathers. Yeah, I know. I know your forefathers did. But you know what? You need to repent for them because I'm still pissed off at them because they didn't. None of this had to happen. But they chose it for you. So you need to repent for them. And maybe, just maybe, I'll hear your cries when the time is right. And they were like, oh, Father, we just got to suck it up. And we did. We sucked it up. We made it. We did. We persevered. We endured. Some of us made it. Some of us didn't. But the whole time we were giving praise until the heathen and the Gentiles realized where we were, how close we were, how close they were to the end, and they had to flip it again. And that goes back to what I said earlier. They tried to do the Mandela effect at the same time we were in our awakening. In the infancy of our awakening. In the infancy of our awakening. They brought in this Mandela effect. Then when we were right in the thick of it, coming strong, hardcore, they tried to come out with CRT. Each time. So now there's nothing left for them to do. They can't come at us sideways no more. We have surpassed them. We have become the head. We have become a head of them. That's why I said in the beginning, they now are trying to figure out what we are thinking about. Used to be we'd be smiling, talking, jovial, looking for them to give us acknowledgement. Now we don't care. And they're like, what? Something's amiss. But I digress. Let's get in 89. So this is Moroni tells the world that there's a chance to repent and keep the prophecies of the destruction from being fulfilled. All prophecy given is conditional. Now this is true, but free will steps in the way and gives you the choice of what you're going to do, what you want to do. The Father just sets the stage. Because everything's a test. We know this. It's a test. What's he going to do? What you going to do? You choose, but choose wisely. And now, it is expedient that ye understand one thing that I have not yet explained unto you in this record. Behold, all prophecy that proceedeth forth from the mouths of all the holy prophets are given unto the children of men as portents and cautions and words of warning to prepare them for the things which shall come. But most importantly, the words of the prophets are given to prepare your souls to meet the Father and live in one of his many kingdoms of glory. And this is the thing that ye should understand. Yea, even though a prophet shall prophesy in the name of the Father of the great destruction and tribulation that shall come to pass, this doth not mean that it shall have to come to pass. This does not mean that it shall have to come to pass according to his words. Or, in other words, it does not mean that ye do not have your free agency to change the course of events of the future so that these things do not come to pass. That's what we've been talking about. Hey, Gentiles, heathens, repent. Repent for what your forefathers have done. And you know what? All this will be over. You may catch some elbows, you know, you may catch some knuckles, you may even catch a couple knees to the groin, to the temple, but you may survive it. But if you don't repent, you certainly won't survive it. And I know brother said, well, you know, he wants everybody. It's gonna talk about it. Let's go, let's keep it moving. For the words of the prophets are given unto you to warn you of the dangers ahead of you for living in wickedness and sin. Yes. And the prophets do not know the exactness of the destructions and tribulations that shall come upon you, but they give a generalization of those things which shall come to pass according to the words of the prophecy that they receive from the Spirit, from the Father's Spirit. And the Father's Spirit receiveth all of its knowledge directly from the Messiah, who receiveth this knowledge from the Father. And it is the great knowledge and the vast experience of the Father that maketh it possible that things are known of the future. So see, there's some bones. Because see here it says, receive from the Holy Ghost. Ain't no ghost. Ain't no Holy Ghost. What the hell is a ghost is a... freaking people. I can't stand them the way that they have I can't stand how they have done, how they have bastardized everything. Like, it is retarded. A ghost, a disembodied soul, especially the soul of a dead person believed to be an inhabitant of the unseen world or to appear to be living in bodily likeness, spirit, demon. Ain't no Holy Ghost, holy demon. What you freaking... they gonna have me curse here soon because it sickens me what they've done to our scripts. It sickens me. And the Father loveth all of his children. He does. And it is not his desire that we suffer in misery and tribulation upon the earth. True. And the only times that we suffer in misery is when we do not follow his plan. But he cannot force us to follow his plan, but hath given unto each of us our individual free agency to act according to our own desires and live the course of life that we choose for ourselves. Some people say, nah. Listen, it's always been about free will, the whole deal with Adam. Adam, talking about dominion, Adam had the ability to have full free will of choice to do anything that he wanted to do. And what did he do? He and his wife, Eve, chose to entertain the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They chose that. So they gave their free will away. And ever since, we've been trying to we've been trying to recoup our free will. And some seasons we had it, some seasons we didn't. And those that were under Adam's curse, now I'm saying like that, those that were under Adam's curse, the chosen seed had to constantly be trying to grab like a butterfly. Their free will was like a butterfly trying to get that butterfly, get that. Sometimes they'll catch it and they'll hold it and they look at it and the butterfly just looks at them and it flies away and then they run after it again. Sometimes they want to take it and hold it and put it in a jar and just watch it die. But that was their choice. So the free will, the free agency of all humanity is theirs. That's the significance of being human. Now, these mankind-like people, they ain't got no free will. That's why they are chosen or cloned to do exactly what they're doing. All these people in leadership who have been inhabited by a ghost has no free will because they've chosen to give it up. That's what, you know, monkey-ass Cat Williams talking about. I like Cat, but you know what? Who the hell is he? And he ain't done nothing for me. And I don't even know if he's real because he's on the television. Okay? So none of them people I've seen ever in my life, maybe a couple people, but I wasn't worshiping them. So whatever he said means really nothing in the big scheme of things, but yet it means everything to our confirmation of knowing what is going on in this world with these people. Therefore, all things which are done upon the earth, which maketh us miserable, are from our own doing and are not the punishments or doings of the Father. Behold, the Father punishes no one because he knoweth that we will punish ourselves if we do not listen to his Spirit. And now they use Spirit here, his Spirit, and do those things which he knoweth will bring us joy and happiness. And that's the truth. He's not out here trying to kill anybody. He's not trying to do anybody dirty. Matter of fact, he wants the best for his creation, which only makes sense. You want the best for your child, which only makes sense. But you got to, your child makes choices. And those choices will come back to bite them. As much as we try to give our children understanding of the things that we have done so that they don't have to do them and they ain't got to go through that tribulation that we've gone through, they don't care. They want to try it themselves because they think that they know it all. Same premise now. But had we not, like right now, what's bringing us happiness? The Father. His plan. That's what's bringing us happiness. So the heathens and Gentiles are right. There will be a rapture. The rapture is us. We are in great pleasure and joy. We are the rapture. We are raptured. But when we choose to go against his plan, then he also knoweth that which will come to pass because of our choice to go against him. And this is the reason why he suffereth prophets to come among us and preach repentance unto us and try to persuade us to listen to the Holy Spirit. Here it is. They put in Holy Spirit. See, this is how you know that these, anyway, I digress, which giveth the peace and happiness that we desire. Therefore, if ye of the latter days repent of your wickedness, now he's talking to us, and turn again to the Father and follow his plan, which we are doing, then the words of the prophet shall not be fulfilled concerning you, and ye shall not suffer the misery and tribulation that ye shall suffer if ye reject his gospel. That's what we've been saying. That's 9. That's 89:9. That's what we've been saying. Hey, repent. Repent. So you are not suffering the misery and tribulation that's soon to come on the earth. Repent. And so that ye of the latter days might know more fully of his gospel and also the things which shall be taught by Christ when he cometh to the earth to set up the kingdom of the Father for the last time, the Messiah hath commanded me to finish this record by explaining the gospel of Messiah as it is intended for the daily lives of the children of men, which is also the will of the Father concerning those of you who live upon the earth in the last days, as it hath been since the beginning concerning all of his children. And I have been commanded to give unto you what hath been written by the hand of the brother of Jared concerning the time when the Messiah shall be upon the earth to teach the people. his laws and to set up a righteous government that shall rule the people in peace and righteousness for the last 1,000 years of the existence of mortality upon this earth. Are we not tired of this wicked ass world? Are we not looking for balance? Do we not want justice? Repentance without justice is like faith without works, dead. And as I abridge the words of the brother of Jared, I shall give unto you an explanation of these things according to the Spirit, which have been strong within me during the course of this entire abridgment, which I have added to the record of my father, Mormon, but shall cause to be sealed up according to the commandment of the Messiah. Therefore, the things that I am about to write unto you are those things that ye can do to bring much peace and happiness upon the earth in the latter days, and cause the tribulations and destruction that have been prophesied against you shall not come to pass. But if ye reject the things that I'm about to write unto you according to the command of the Messiah and the promptings of the Holy Ghost, of the Ruach, yea, if ye refuse to incorporate them into your lives, then ye shall suffer all things which the prophets have prophesied against you. Therefore, read these words, yea, take them into your hearts, so that ye may understand their meaning. Implement the great counsel that shall be given unto you into your daily lives. That's where we are. Implement the great counsel. That's the spiritual counsel. Yea, require these things of your leaders and those whom ye have given power over you. Let me read that again. Yea, require these things of your leaders and those whom ye have given power over you, that ye might have the peace and happiness that the Father had promised to all of us. There it is. Voting for it's the lesser of the two evils. Okay. Well, I'm not giving them anything of me. I'm not giving them nothing of me. They take enough from me. Why should I give them any more? Behold, Satan shall fight the implementation of these things into your daily lives, right? Because they are not the principles and purposes of his plan. But it should not matter what Satan desires of you, for ye have your free agency to act and choose for yourselves that which ye will do during the days of your probation. I mean, this is... And I promise, and a promise I give unto all the people of the world in the latter days. Yea, if ye do these things, then ye shall be a happy people, and ye shall not want or suffer for anything all the days of your lives. And if ye do these things, then shall the words of the prophets be fulfilled when they gave unto you the will of the Messiah, saying, I will cut my work short in righteousness, for the days come that I will send forth judgment unto victory. And now, this hath been the desire of all the holy prophets of God, of your Elohim, even that they should establish righteousness upon the earth among the children of men. And this shall also be the desire of these last two prophets who shall be among you in the latter days. That's the full house of Israel. And the first shall do all in his power to implement the fullness of the gospel of Yeshua into the daily lives of those who shall give heed unto his words. And this prophet shall pray unto the Messiah, saying, we ask thee to appoint unto Zion other stakes beside this one which thou hast appointed, that the gathering of thy people may roll on it great power and majesty, that thy work may be cut short in righteousness. And the Messiah shall promise Joseph, the 10 tribes, this first prophet among you. Excuse me. And the Messiah shall promise Joseph, the 10 tribes, this first prophet among you, that if Zion is established and the people repent and work righteousness in all things whatsoever that they shall be commanded by the mouth of Joseph, then he would cut his work short in the righteousness, even saying unto his servant Joseph, for I, the Almighty, have laid my hands upon the nations to scourge them for their wickedness, and plague shall go forth, and they shall not be taken from the earth until I have completed my work, which shall be cut short in righteousness. So let me read on. And now these are promises of the Messiah. If the people are righteous before him, behold, Enoch preached the gospel unto the people in his day, and they became an exceedingly righteous people. That's when the world was given into the hand of the righteous. And all the days of their lives, they remained righteous. And when the world rose up against them, the Elohim caused that they should be taken from off of the earth because of the promise which he had made unto them. But the people of the church that Joseph shall establish upon the earth shall not remain in righteousness, and thus the promise of the Father shall not be fulfilled concerning them. And these promises also pertain unto you who have received this record. Behold, if ye repent and begin to work righteousness upon the earth, then shall the promise of the Father be fulfilled in you. And now, my brothers and sisters, yea, even all of you upon the face of the whole earth, read these things that I'm about to give unto you. Know that the Father will come one day and open up all the books which have been written by his power, and ye shall be judged by the words that are written in these books. And this book, which shall be sealed to come forth at this time, is the greatest of all the books that have ever been written, because of the plainness of the words and the clarity of the things which the Father would have his children know concerning him. Therefore, I say unto you, give strict heed to the things that are written herein, for they shall either bless your lives exceedingly on one hand, or on the other they shall condemn you to everlasting condemnation. All praises. All we've been saying, you know, this ain't no Billy Jack, I'm saying my age, that's the Billy Jack, all we are saying is give peace a chance. No, we ain't saying give peace a chance. We ain't worried about peace. What we're saying is we want justice. And that allows us to repent, because we know that you cannot have justice without repentance. And so we have been repenting over and over and over again on a continual. And righteousness is knocking at our door. And we're letting them in. We're letting righteousness in. And the world is befuddled because they do not know why we're letting righteousness in, because it, to them, does not taste as good as wickedness. And they can't get wickedness out of their house without the help of us. Soon we will see the end of their wretched ways. And we will begin to believe and see the marvelous works that our works have done, which only means that we will be in a full repentant state, prostrate repentant state. That is the beauty of our Father. That is the beauty of us. We are to bring the salvation. Who else but us needs salvation? Does the Indo-Europeans need salvation? Mm-mm. Now, those that they have pushed to the very bottom, our people, the Brahmin, of course they need salvation, but they are our brethren and sisters too. You think the Dutch? It's funny, because the Dutch, they got on with South Africa going against Ish, and I'm going, but wait, you haven't repented for what you all have done in the Congo and Indonesia and South Africa, ironically. So this whole thing, what they got going on, is a ruse. There's no righteousness in it. It may seem righteous, but underneath there's a scheme of pure doo-doo. And they don't think that we see it. We see it. They think that it's all about Palestine. It's not about Palestine. It's about us. we're the ones that have created and have brought forth all of this change. This is why they got problems today, because they won't acknowledge who's doing what. They still think that they're doing something, and they ain't doing nothing. Matter of fact, they can't even win a football game without us. They can't win a basketball game without us. They can't run their world without us. Remember I said, they put us out in front of everything that they do. Yeah, they try to make us be the fall guy, but that's on one hand, and on the other hand, it's us ruling, albeit wickedly, under a wicked rule system. But when is the balance to come? The balance comes when we give it all to the Father, and I think we're getting there. I mean, you know, trying to go to work and deal with these people, you know, and treat them right and, you know, want to be out of debt of these people, want to just be from underneath these people. It's coming. I mean, I keep feeling it. I keep seeing it. Like it's here. It's like it's there. I can touch it. But the problem is I can't hold it right now. It's fleeting. It's like that butterfly. I can't hold it. What I got, though, is my free will back, my free agency back, to be able to see it there and to be able to touch it but not hold it. What is it that I can touch and not hold? Righteousness yet. Because the more I grab and try to hold on to righteousness, the more wickedness that tries to come. So we have to do it. We have to eradicate wickedness in order for us to hold righteousness. Enoch taught his people righteousness. So as he taught them righteousness, they held on to righteousness. But we got too many distractions right now. And that's what the Father's about to cut off here soon. It's going to be a lot of people cut away, a lot of distractions cut away. And it's going to start there with Hollywood. It's really going to start with Ish. And then it's going to start with Hollywood. Then it's going to start. Then it's going to go to their politics. Then it's going to go to education. Because everybody's got to know that they have inherited lies. All praises to our Father, to our Elohim, to our families, to our nation. All praises to our own selves, that we may be found worthy enough to be part of the kingdom to come. All praises. Thanks for listening. Shalom.